Okay, I want to talk today about faith. We're in our series about faith, and what I want to talk today about is speaking faith-filled words. Now, we've talked about this in the past, and we've been told about how important the words are that we speak and how negative things bring negative things into our life. So I want to rehearse that with you some today, but also I want to take it to a higher level of understanding for you so that you can understand better how it works. So if you want to know what your life is going to be 5 years or 10 years down the road, stop and listen to yourself talk. Listen to the words that you're saying, because what you're doing with words, and this is what I'm going to be showing you today, is your words are going forth out of you as it were seeds, and it's producing a fruit that you will eat, good or bad, sweet or sour. It's going to be something that you're going to go down the road of life, and you're going to partake of it. So let me show you this first in the Scriptures. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 20. It says, from the fruit of his mouth, from, not into, but out of, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. Or you are prospering according to what's coming out of your mouth. You're filled. Your life is filled to the direct connection with what's coming from your mouth. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Your degree of satisfaction with life has a great deal to do with what's coming from your mouth. Now here we go. The tongue has the power of life and death. Now, you've got to work with me here. I want you to repeat that back to me, but we're also going to make it personal. So would you say back to me, the tongue has the power of life and death? Would you say that? The tongue has the power of life and death. Now let's make that personal, and I want you to say, my tongue has the power of life and death. Would you say that? My tongue
has the power of life and death.
Yes, it does. And you will eat your words. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Wow. Now, what I want us to see here is what we say comes out of our mouth, the words that we say, has so much to do with the direction of our life. And if I can get this across to you, it's as though words are like word seeds. They're seeds that go forth and are planted into our futures. And as we go down the road of life, we get to this place in life where this is what we're eating. And so with our words, we're directing our own lives. We do eat our words. So many people today say some of the craziest negative things. You know, we're always saying things like, you know, I'll never get well. I've been sick so long, I'm just never going to get well. It's flu season. I guess I'll get it. Ever heard somebody say something like that? It's flu season. And we went out to eat after Mother's Day, on Mother's Day, and we were sitting at the table, and I heard this woman having a conversation with another woman, and she said it really loudly, and she said, I've been dying to see you. And I'm thinking, what? I'm not dying to see anybody. I'm telling you. You know, and we say some of the craziest things, not realizing that they're going out in front of us and they're planting something that we're going to eat. We're going to harvest from what we're saying. Some of the craziest things, and we wonder why we have these crazy negative lives, why we can't catch a break, why crazy things are happening to us, and we never correlate, we never connect what we say with what we eat. With what we're saying, with what we're experiencing in life. When you get up in the mornings, and this is especially true if you're experiencing some bad times, and we all go through those negative times, but if you're going through a bad time, you know, you've got to use your words to direct your life for that day. I mean, you're into a day. You want a good day if you're having a bad ones. And so, but people will get up and they'll say, and especially when they're having a bad time, it's a lousy time in their life. They'll say, it's going to be a lousy day. I hate my job. I know me and my spouse, we're going to be fighting before the day's over. And those kids, they're just driving me crazy. And what happens? We've just used the words to, first of all, bring themselves very down low. They don't have any expectations of anything good happening in their life. It's all going to be bad, and they've just used their words to direct their lives. But what if we got up, especially when things were bad, and we got up and we say, today is going to be a great day. How old's Michael Lance? Four or five? Four. And he has this beautiful outlook on life. He gets up every morning just about and he'll say, it's a beautiful day. And whether it's raining or snowing or what, you don't care anymore because he has already lifted you up. Everybody smiles and say, yes, Michael Lance, it is going to be a beautiful day. And so if we got up and we said, it's going to be a great day today, we've already lifted ourselves up. We've already thrown out there some anticipation already in our future. We're looking for a good day. You know what? I'm going to have something going to happen to me today at work that's going to fulfill me. Something's going to happen at work today that's going to make me feel valuable. I know that. And me and my spouse, we're going to enjoy our times together. And those kids, man, they are the arrows in my quiver. They are the joy of my life. Now, you probably won't mean that. But either the Bible is true or it's not. And the Proverbs is true. And it says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. And you're going to eat what you say. You better get out there some good stuff to eat. And so this is what I'm wanting us to see today. Use your words to direct your life where you want to go. Not how it is, or, you know, I'm just telling the truth. You know, hey, where do you want to live? Where do you want to go? That's what you want. And I want to ask you right now, what are you speaking into your future? What are you speaking over your family? What are you speaking over your finances? What are you speaking over your health? Are you going to get the flu? I'm not. what are you saying? What are you putting out there that you're going to be partaking of? For your family, for your children, for your finances, for your occupation, for your health. What are you putting out there? For example, your child may be as rebellious as can be. I mean, maybe a total brat. But when you get around people, don't talk about that. Be careful with whom you talk about these things. Don't get around people. You see, Jesus said this. Jesus says there is a power in agreement. Am I right? Yeah. Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, I'm right there with you, and we'll make something happen. Right? That's what he says. But when you get around other people, and you're talking about these negative things, and you're talking about your child, you better believe they'll get in agreement with you that your child is bad. That your child probably will end up in jail. That your child probably is going to make a real mess of its life. Now, when you get into that agreement, what you've done is they're agreeing with you, and you haven't Jesus in there, but you've got the enemy in there. And just as sure as agreeing with others with Jesus is going to make something good, agreeing with others with the enemy is going to make something bad. So be careful. What you should say is put a positive slant on it and throw out words into the future that are going to be good for the child. You know, my child is blessed. And that your child is blessed because he has you for a parent. My child is blessed. My child will prosper. My child will fulfill his destiny. My child will have a great spouse, a great family, great children. My child will experience his dreams. So put out there something good. You've got to be cautious as to how you use your words. And what we've got to do is come to the place and understanding this point. We speak life into our faith with words. This is what God shows us. God tells us that we call things that are not, how? As though they were. Not are, but were. They already happened. He's already moved on to the next thing. You know, so they were. I'm going to read you this. It's in the book of Romans, and the Apostle Paul is here talking about Abraham. Abraham had a promise, and the promise of Abraham was that he would have a child. And you know the story. He wanted a child. That was a promise from God for Abraham. And I want to read now with this what the Apostle Paul talking here about Abraham says. Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by what? How does the promise come? By faith. What do you have a promise of? Do you have a promise of a good marriage? Do you have a promise of prosperity? Do you have a promise of good health? See, the Bible says, may you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. You can have that if you got your mind right and you're thinking. See, he says, these are promises that we have. You have a promise for abundance. That's why Jesus came. So you have a promise, though. It's going to come by what? By faith. Now watch this. The God who gives life to the dead and calls, would you say calls? Calls things that are not as though they were. The God who calls things that are not as though they were. What God did is speak life into his faith with words. Now, I want to work on that word calls just a little bit. You see, call is more than just naming something. If I call you on the phone, I'll get my phone, put you in, and I am directly connected with you, right? I'm connected with what I'm calling. And so if I were to call you up here on the platform with me, I'm connecting with you. I'm bringing you to me. And so it's more than just naming something. It's calling it. It's connecting with it. It's calling it to you. So God is showing us how faith works. How that we take our words and we speak them into our faith and we bring life to our faith through our words, and then we call to us those things. Calling those things that are not as though they were. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Don't say, you know, I've been hurting for years and I'm never going to get better. Don't say that. Put a positive twist on it. Put something in there positive that will go into the future and say, you know what? I'm not up to par today, but my best days are still ahead of me. God is healing me right now as I speak, and I'm going to feel better tomorrow. But don't say, you know, man, I'm never going to get better. Don't say that kind of thing. Put out there into the fruit that you're going to eat, speak life into your healing with your words. Now, how many of you ever heard people say things like that kid of mine, man, is the worst kid ever. That kid's probably going to end up in jail and spend the rest of his life incarcerated. And what happened? How many has ever heard somebody say something like this? You know, my finances are a mess. They're going to get worse and worse. I'm going to have to go bankrupt. And what happened? You see, what we're doing, and without realizing it, is we're calling those things to us. And what God wants us to do is not to do that. See, I refuse to call things to me that I don't want. Yeah, I don't know why the verse came from. It's not in notes, and just have had this thought. I'm not going to go out into a bull ring and call a bull to me. You know, I don't want the bull. Whatever you can think of, you know, don't call it if you don't want it. So you speak things that are not as though they were. I refuse to speak negative things into my life. And you need to pay attention to what you're saying, and you probably need to get people to help you, especially if you have a tendency to be negative. And you know if you do or not. You know if you have a tendency to lean negative. You need to get people to help you. You need to get your spouse or your children or somebody that you're around a lot. And you need to tell them, well, listen, will you help me if you hear me saying something negative? Will you tell me, hey, that's negative? Because I really want to work on my future. I really want to work on my life. And I want to be positive. Will you help me not say anything negative? And when they do, when they say, you're being negative, don't get mad at them. Right? I get amazed sometimes. People come and tell me these things that are going on in their life, and I'll try to help them tweak it to how they say it or how they look at it, you know, and I'll try to help them, you know, say it better. And they get aggravated with me. Well, it's just the truth. Yeah. I know it's the truth, but do you want me to agree with you for the truth? You know, I wonder sometimes, do you want me to get in agreement with you and say, yeah, your kid probably is going to go to jail and spend the rest of his life incarcerated? Yeah, you're going bankrupt. Yeah, probably this time next year, you're going to be bankrupt. Yeah, I agree with you. You're sick. You're probably going to die. See, you got to throw out there. You got to put a positive aspect on the thing. You got to be careful. See, the more you talk about being depressed, the more depressed you become. The more you talk about being overweight, the more out of shape you become. What you're talking about, you're creating. You're calling it, as it were, to you. Speak things that are not as though they were. This is what God does. And it's okay if you do it too. Someone told me a few weeks ago, it was actually Mother's Day. They said, you never cease to amaze me. And the context was Mother's Day, the video that I did for, with the ladies, you moms in it and all that stuff. You never cease to amaze me. My reply was, this. I said, you know, sometimes I'm amazing. Sometimes I'm awesome. Now, I didn't say that to get a brag. But what I'm trying to say to you is, how many of you are bold enough to compliment yourself? You compliment others. See, so many people go through life and they say, I can't do anything. Nobody cares what I do. Everything I get, you know, nobody pays attention to things. No. Here's what you got to learn how to do and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I'm getting in agreement with God. I'm calling things that are not as though they were. Right? I'm saying, everything my hand touches, it prospers. Everything I touch does well. Sometimes I'm amazing and sometimes I'm awesome. You got to call those things that are not as though they were. And when you do that, then you're putting seed out there and you do get better. And you'll find out you begin to eat being better and better and better at what you want to do. And another thing that we really need to make sure we get a hold of is that getting this into our children. You know, our children learn so much from us, especially from our words. When you need to do this now when they're little and project into their future. And Judy was way ahead of me on this before we came to faith in Christ. Judy was always telling our children, you're a beautiful girl, but you're going to be a gorgeous woman. You're a good-looking guy, but man, you're going to be a knockout guy, you know? You're going to be a hunk. You know, you're smart, but man, you're going to be so intelligent. You're going to do so well in life. You're going to have great spouses. You're going to have a great family. You're going to have nice homes. And man, we look back at our children today. And I'm saying, wow. Look what we projected into their lives and got them thinking along those same lines so that when they got to that place in life, they were able to eat that fruit. I want to tell you a story. And it's not a story I'm proud of. You'll understand why in just a minute. We built our first home. And it was a brick home, and then on one end of it had a carport, and it wasn't closed in. And then the carport was attached right to the kitchen, and the kitchen had a kitchen door had a window you could look out. And what I would do is when one of our vehicles needed repair, I did most of that myself. And so I would pull one of the cars up on the carport, and I would work on it there. And back then I had a horrible temper. I was a mess. I'd yell and scream at things, and people, and my language was basically profanity. That was my vocabulary, and it was. See, I'm telling you, I'm not proud of this, but my point is to show you what an influence our words have on our children. And so, when I'd be working on that vehicle, I know nobody in here has ever done it. If I would scratch my knuckles or if something wasn't going good, I would cuss it, and then I'd beat it. And then I have to fix what I beat, you know. But anyway, so one day I'm in there watching television, and Judy's standing at the door, and she says, Delbert, you need to come here and look at this. So I walk up there to the door, and I'm looking out, and here's Lance. He's about 4 years old, and he's standing. He's got his tricycle up on the carport, and he's got a hammer, and he's beating the tricycle, and he's cussing it. And he's using my words. He's using the profanities that I used, big people's words. And I saw that, it broke my heart. I wanted you to hear me. Your words are powerful, especially on your children. I am so thankful for God for redeeming me and beginning to change my words so that I was able to forecast into my children's future abundance and good things rather than a life of profanity. What are you putting out there? What are you speaking? See, God wants to redeem everything about our lives. Everything. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 2, it says this, let the redeemed of the Lord... Let's do it again. Let the redeemed of the Lord... Why? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Why? Why should we have to say so? Because your redemption is so attached to what you say. And when you're redeemed, it's not just so you can die and go to heaven It's so that every single thing about your life can be redeemed from the enemy. That your finances can be redeemed. That your family can be redeemed. What do you want redeemed from the enemy? Do you want your marriage redeemed? Then say so. Do you want your finances redeemed? Then say so. Do you want your health redeemed? Then say so. Do you want your children redeemed from bondages of the enemy? Then say so. Do you want your occupation and your dreams redeemed from the enemy? Then say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Are we saying so? What are we saying? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Put your faith out there. Plant those word seeds. Speak life into your faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus speaking here says, I tell you the truth. Isn't it amazing? Jesus had to say, tell people, I'm telling you the truth. King James, verily, verily. This is important. Don't miss this. This is what he's saying. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain. Have you ever talked to a mountain? I have. If anyone says to this mountain. Now, of course, it's an analogy. It's an example. It's an obstacle in life that we're come up face to face with. That's hindering our progress. It's a mountain of life. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he
says.
Believe that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. You don't have to do it. It'll cast itself into the sea if you'll just say so. It'll take care of itself if you speak to it, and you got to learn how to stop speaking about your problems and start speaking to them. See, people say, Delbert, I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to go through my life positive. Well, that's good. That's half of the fight. That's half of good. That's halfway there. But if you're going to have the life that you really want, and if you're going to have a fruitful life, then you've got to become offensive with your words. And what I mean by is you got to attack. See, if you want to move the mountains of life, you've got to talk to them. Mountains of life. Things that you're facing in life, obstacles of life, you got to learn how to speak to them and tell them to cast themselves into the sea. And if you'll do that, then they're going to go. And if we understand this, it'll start making sense to us. You've got to send out your seed words, and they'll start preparing fruit for you, and they'll even remove mountains. Psalms 91, verse 1 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place, dwelleth, remains there, lives this kind of a life. He that dwelleth in the secret place. This isn't a public place. This is a secret place. This is a place not everybody knows about. This is a secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will what? I will say of the Lord. How do we dwell in this place? Well, a part of it is I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now watch this, surely he shall deliver. Now get the progression here. I will say, he will deliver. I will say, he shall deliver. What do you want delivered from? What do you want redeemed? I will say, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What's pestering you? What's making a lot of noise in your life that you don't want? And the progression is, I will say, he shall deliver. So let's reverse this and do it the opposite way. I will not say, he. See, so much of redemption has to be with say-so. Saying of the Lord, I will say, he will deliver. Now, some of you just need to speak more victory over your lives, over your children. Some of you really need to step out there. And you wonder why you're not getting breaks. You're wondering why crazy things happening in your life. You wonder why negative stuff's going on. Well, what are you saying? What are you putting out there? Because you're going to have to eat it. What are you putting out there to eat? And, you know, people say, well, Delbert, that's just a positive confession. I'm sorry, I'll just give you a negative one. That's a positive confession. I just tell it like it is. But bless your heart. I'm not telling you to deny the truth. I'm trying to tell you to agree with God. Now, let me show you. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. How? Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. What is just like it is? But what does God say to say? What it just is, it's just like it is I'm weak. But what I agree with God is, I am strong. Don't say it just like it is. I'm not saying to deny the truth, but say where you want to go. Don't say it just like it is. Where it is isn't good. Say where you want to go. Beat your plowshares into pruning hooks and your swords or whatever that thing was. Plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And you do it with your words. I'm going to agree with God and not with the devil.
Yes.
How about you? God says, I'm a conqueror. In fact, he says, I am more than a conqueror. Now, I might not look like a conqueror. I might not feel like a conqueror. I might have just had a horrible week, a horrible day. But God says, I'm more than a conqueror. Then what am I? I am more than a conqueror. I'm getting in agreement with God. Delbert, I've been saying of the Lord, but nothing's happening. Okay, let me help you just a little bit. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Leave that up there. Let us hold unswervingly. We've all swerved in a car. You know, what he's saying is don't swerve. Keep it between the lines. Hold on to that. Hold on to the hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Can't separate hope and faith. Faith is full of hope. Hope is full of faith. And so if you're going to have faith for something to happen, you've got to hope. And you've got to hold on to it. Because he is faithful who promised. What has he promised you? Hold on to it. Don't swerve. It will happen. You remember Jesus cursing the fig tree. For those of you who don't, I'll refresh our memories a little bit. Jesus and his guys were walking one day. And the Bible says Jesus was hungry. Amazing, God gets hungry. Jesus was hungry. And he sees a fig tree. And he says, let's go, check it out. So they walk over to this fig tree, and there's no fruit on it. It's unfruitful. You know what he does? He does an amazing thing. He curses that fig tree. He commands it to die. But you know, nothing happened. The leaves didn't fall off. It didn't turn to dust and blow away. Nothing happened, apparently. On the seen, nothing happened, but in the unseen dimension, something big happened. In the unseen dimension, the roots were cut off. So they go on, those guys go on, they come back later. In a matter of time, they look at this same fig tree. It's dead. It's dead. And it's amazing to them. You see, when you say things, it releases something into the supernatural dimension. You can't see it immediately. And probably won't see it immediately. But you're throwing it out there into the future. You're throwing it out there. You're planting it, and it's fruit. And you're putting it out there because when you get to that place, what you said is going to happen. Because you said so. It's out there. So people tell me, you know, all the time, you know, I want to step out in faith, man. I hear this message. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do it. You know, and they get fired up, and we go saying so. And nothing happens. And so people say, well, this doesn't work. It's not working for me. Or they get, well, you know, I forget to say it today. Or I get discouraged. And so we revert back to our negative statements again. And we start living this crazy life where crazy things happen again. No. What I'm trying to tell you today is don't swerve. Hold on to it. Keep it between the lines. Because eventually you will eat the fruit of what you say so. Of what you speak into. You spoke life into your faith with your words. Keep saying it. Hold on to it. It will come. Listen. Sometimes we've got to put a gag on our mouth. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. And some of you are going to remember it. It was at the assembly 25 years ago. A woman named Betty was coming to the church. And Betty had this thing about her mouth. She was always saying bad things, negative things. It was a Wednesday night. And I'm up there teaching, and Betty comes in. And Betty sits over here on the side of me. And Betty's got a piece of duct tape from this ear to this ear. How many remember Betty? You remember Betty? Okay, I see some hands. Now, you got to realize, I'm a young preacher. I really don't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. Here's this woman sitting over here with duct tape on her mouth. But, you know, I'm thinking about that, especially this week, I'm thinking about this and this lesson. And I'm thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to start bringing some duct tape to church because some of you need it. You know, whatever that you need, do it. Whatever is going to stop you from experiencing some things down the road. Listen, if it takes duct tape, then buy you some duct tape. Gag that thing. Make sure you don't plan into your future negative stuff. Hold on to the promises. Hold on to what God has to say to us. I got one more thought, and then we'll dismiss. In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." Ask for rain when it's raining. "So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass," to every single blade of grass, "to every one grass in the field." What God is saying is, I want to give you a green life, an abundant life. I want to make your pastures green. I want to make every blade of your life green. But he says, speak to the rain when it's raining. Now, that's weird. Why would you pray for rain when it's raining? You see, even when your life is really going well, pray for rain. Pray for the blessings, the showers of blessings. Because one day, it's not going to be raining. We've had a lot of rain this year, but for the past several years, it's been pretty dry. See, the time comes in all of our lives where we have a dry spell. What God is saying here, I want to bless you so much. I want to make your life green and prosperous and abundant. So even in the good times, make sure you keep speaking, keep planting, keep putting out there in front of you more seeds, more fruit, more good things waiting for you. So many of our lives could change just that immediately by changing the words that we're speaking. Listen, the power of life and death are in your tongue. You're speaking things that you will eat. And what God is wanting to say to all of us today, if you will adjust this some, if you will tweak what you're saying and how you're saying it, then things are going to immediately change in your lives. Some of you are experiencing things in your families, and it seems like they're just going to go on forever and ever. It seems like they're permanent. No, they're not. If you'll start speaking correctly, those things are going to turn around and change. Some of you are having occupational situations at work right now. If you'll start speaking those good things into the future for you at your work, you're going to see God do some amazing thing. He's going to move out some people that shouldn't be there. He's going to move in some people that should be there. God's going to do some amazing things into your family. You learn how to say it, learn how to speak it, learn how to plant it into your future. God wants to make every grass green, every single blade green in your life. You got to realize, listen, you got to learn how to call those things to you that are not as though they were. Let God teach us how to do it. Speak to the mountains that we face in life. All of us are going to have them. And if you're going to be victorious, you're going to be more than a conqueror, then you got to agree with God. You got to claim. You got to speak. You got to put your seed faith out there. Put your seed words out there. Because one day, you're going to get to them, and that's what you're going to be eating. Change the way you talk, and you're going to change the way you live, and you're going to start speaking faith-filled words. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today's lesson. Thank you, Lord, that I know that it's challenged all of us. Even those of us who feel like we do a pretty good job there, Lord, you still challenge us. Lord, we could all do a better thing of speaking faith and breathing life and speaking life into our faith with our words. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you know you're kind of negative and you battle with it. You don't want to be. You just find yourself from time to time just going off on something, not even realizing it. And God's kind of pricked your heart today and convicted you. Because so many of the things that you're experiencing in life are due to the things that you've said. Others of you do a pretty good job, but you still want to do better. You need to pray for rain when it's raining. So if today's lesson's kind of spoken to you in those kinds of ways, and you say, man, I want to live a life of faith. I want to have the abundant life. I want to speak things out into the future of my children, things out into the future of my health, and things out into the future of my finances, and things out into the future of my marriage. If that's you today, would you raise your hand and let me pray with you right where you're sitting? I see your hands everywhere. Yes, Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, we have a tendency, because of our nature, to be negative. But God, your nature is to be positive. And so, Lord, we want to plant right now, in the name of Jesus, we want you to remind us, give us people that will tell us when we're negative, so that we can continually pray for rain when it's raining. Well, we can continue a green life, a full life, a great life. Thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed us. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Some of you aren't where you need to be with God, and you know it. You're just not there. You're negative. Things are going crazy in your life. What the Lord wants me to tell you today is I want to make every blade of your life green. I want to bless every pasture you have. I want to bless every step of your life. But I can't do it if you're not with me and you won't let me be with you. Receive me as your Lord and your Savior, the Lord would say to you. And I will help you make a life that you want to have. You will experience it. You will eat the fruit of it. You'll have a great life. You'll have a harvest of good things. If that's you, you know you're not where you need to be with God. If you let me pray for you right where you're sitting, God's going to come into your life and He's going to start directing your life in a way better way. And He's going to remind you of this today's lesson and you're going to start speaking faith ahead of you and you're going to experience a great life. If that's you, you know you're not where you need to be with the Lord right now. Right where you're sitting, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. I see a hand here. Any others?